Chairman Alexei came to national attention with his story collection, The Lone Ranger and Tonto Fistfight in Heaven, and the film Smoke Signals, which was adapted from it. His young adult novel, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, won the 2007 National Book Award for Young People's Literature, and another collection, War Dances, won the 2010 Penn Faulkner Award. His latest book is Blasphemy, New and Selected Stories. It's published by Grove Press, and I'm very pleased that it brings Sherman Alexei back to our show.
It's great to be here again.
This collection includes some of your best-known stories from previous collections, as well as some new ones. How many are new and how many are the old ones?
Well, we aimed for symmetry, 15 old ones, 15 new ones, but somehow or another my editor and I put 16 new ones in, and we counted and recounted, so I'm not sure how we managed to do that.
But do you see this as something of a greatest hits album?
Yeah, you know, that's sort of live album you release with, you know, you're performing your hits live and then you have the rest done in studio, the new stuff.
Well, but then there's always the problem there. You probably have some personal favorites that didn't necessarily make a big splash. You have to decide whether to give the readers the ones that they know or the ones that you think they should know.
It was a fascinating, the first, you know, there's five or six that my editor I knew right away. And then after that, we solicited advice and everybody had a different favorite. So that was useless, which has actually been reflected in the reviews. The first story, Cry, 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 has been reviled by people who love the book and then celebrated by people who don't like much of the rest of the book. So, you know, people's taste in stories has been very dramatically different.
Well, Cry, Cry, Cry is a harrowing tale of drugs, jealousy, murder, and suicide.
One of the domestic violence, don't forget that.
One of the new stories?
Yeah, it's a new story.
When did you write it?
I wrote that about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I hadn't written a sort of straight-up reservation story, and most of the old stories are reservation-based, so I thought I'd have a new one. And I actually also wanted one that was less, well, I mean, it's a more violent story than typical, but it also has a more positive ending.
Is that, well,
I don't
not
know
everybody
if, I don't know if the adjective is positive. But,
why would you want to start a collection with something so in your face? Set the tone for everything
else?
Set
the tone. I wanted to make sure, you know, after 20 years, I wanted to make sure people know that I hadn't settled down into old man happiness.
You have said in the past that you feel writers should be allowed to rewrite works that have already been published. Have you rewritten any of the stories in this collection?
We didn't do much of that. You know, I always threatened that, and I haven't done it yet. In this director's commentary DVD 2.0 era, you know, I really need to do it. A novel I wrote, Flight, I'm dying to rewrite it. And, you know, I keep threatening to do it, and it's a short novel. I think I could, so.
Well, it happened in the past, and we often will get different versions of a classic novel as different people discover the different versions. So this is the one the author really liked at the end of his life, but it does confuse people. What was wrong with Flight?
I felt the ending wasn't deserved. You know, it's also another violent, harrowing tale, and I decided in writing it that I didn't want another tragic ending for an Indian. But in retrospect, that's the ending the novel deserved. So I either keep the ending and rewrite the book to earn the happier ending, or I go even further with the book in terms of its nightmarish qualities.
And what is your inclination at the moment?
I always go for the nightmare. But the funny nightmare for new listeners, I want to make sure they know I'm funny. I'm very funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of humor in these stories.
Yes.
Your bio says you're a Spokane Coeur d'Alene Indian. Were your parents from two different tribes?
Yeah, my mom's Spokane and my father's Coeur d'Alene. I'm enrolled with the Spokane matriarchal descent and all that. And then my dad, of Coeur d'Alene, lived on the Spokane Reservation. So,
well, they're both in the Northwest.
Yeah, it's interior Salish tribes. And there's so much intermarriage these days that they're really linked tribes.
And in your stories, you use the word Indian rather than Native American.
That's what Indians call each other. And it's not like Native American's any more accurate. You know, Native American means anybody born here, which is, you know, what, 60 to 70% of us?
And I once read that the Sioux came into the Great Plains around 1492, just about the time that Columbus showed up in the
it's
Caribbean.
Funny, for being the warlike people they are and this reputation deserved of being such great warriors and fighters, they actually got kicked out of the Northeast and ended up sort of getting their butts kicked along the way to the Great Plains. So I think what happened is they fought, got beat up so much that they started training. So it was like a Charles Atlas thing. So, but the skinny Sioux left the Northwest, but by the time they got to the Plains, they were muscly.
And they also are Native American, I'm going to use the term here, or Indian groups that came a long, long time ago. Others came much later. The Navajo, the Apache are fairly recent arrivals from Asia. And you can see the difference physically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go up to Alaska and you look at the Native Americans up there, they look Siberian, which is, of course, obvious. Humans have always made boats. But this is a contentious topic among certain natives who insist that we were created here and all of our creation stories about are being created in the Americas, which is a kind of fundamentalism that echoes across all peoples and cultures. But the fact is that, you know, we all started in Africa.
My guest is Sherman Alexie, whose latest book is called Blasphemy, New and Selected Stories. It's published by Grove Press, and even that title is a kind of in-your-face title. We are announcing this is not your standard collection of short stories.
Well, and my face is in the cover laughing. So it's a combination of the seriousness of a blasphemy accusation, but also laughing. So that I think the cover really fits the tone of my work.
Now, you grew up on the reservation.
Yes, the Spokane Indian Reservation.
But then you went to high school off the reservation?
And
you were the only Indian student?
That first year I got there, and then my sisters came. But, yeah, I was the only Indian except for the mascot.
Now, how did that happen? Because weren't you expected to go to the school on the reservation?
Which I did. You know, it was tribal, very tribal. In fact, you know, my family had never really lived anywhere else. And my mom and dad met when he moved to the res when he was 5, and my mom was 14, and she helped him get a drink at a water fountain. That's how my mom and dad met.
But she picked him up?
Yeah, and helped him, yeah, which, you know, is cute and creepy. But first day of 7th grade, I opened up my math book, and my mom's maiden name was written in it, you know, a 30-year-old math book, and I knew I needed to get out. So for a year, I prepared myself, and then I went to the very conservative, very Christian white farm town on the reservation border.
And did being an outsider kind of give you a different perspective on life on the res?
Well, I was an outsider there, too. I was an eccentric. I was always very academic and book-oriented, which is not necessarily a positive thing on the reservation.
When you began writing, I assume this is something that you almost always did, did you have any role models or favorite writers?
Actually, I was a math and science geek. I started college pre-med. Mm-hmm. So I'd written.
And you had no desire to become a writer?
I didn't even know it was possible. I had never seen a book written by an Indian. So I didn't even know. It wasn't even in the realm of reality. If you would have asked me at that point, I would have laughed, thinking, there's no way Indians write books. So no, it wasn't until I took a creative writing poetry class in college that I really got into it. And I took the class to meet women.
But I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yes.
But stories are so important to Indian traditions.
Yeah, what's important to
but
all
it's just
traditions.
The oral tradition.
The oral tradition for all people, but of course, in the Native American community, it's acknowledged. NPR, that's the oral tradition. You know, this what we're doing here is akin to sitting around a campfire. But, off the reservation, outside those specifically tribal communities, people don't see it as the oral tradition.
Some of these stories take place on reservations, but others are set in Seattle, where you live. Do you think that Indians who move to cities are better off than the ones who remain on reservations?
Well, to remain on the reservation and be happy, you really have to be more traditional. You really have to be more spiritual, more involved in ceremonial activities.
So it's almost like remaining in a religious community.
Yes. I mean, it's sort of the equivalent of being Amish, but with better hair. And of course, this is the United States, so, you know, anybody growing up in a poor community moving to an urban environment has a better chance.
The story, What You Pawn, I Will Redeem, is about a homeless alcoholic Indian living in the streets of Seattle who sees his grandmother's powwow regalia in a pawn shop window, and he sets out to reclaim it. Where did the idea for that story come from?
My grandmother's regalia was stolen from a powwow years ago. And decades ago, and there's always been this persistent rumor that Ted Turner has it now in his ranch in Montana. I don't know where the rumor started, but you know, I started thinking about Ted Turner and writing this story. The first draft actually was Ted Turner, but then I started thinking about what does Ted Turner represent? And for some reason, God popped into my head.
Did you ever get in touch with him and ask him?
No. I doubt it. But so the notion of God and a pawnbroker and the Rod Steiger movie really got to me, and thinking about genocide and Holocaust survivor and the capitalistic genocide of Native American cultures, and that all blended.
Now, alcohol and alcoholism figure in many of these stories, and some people have criticized you for perpetuating the idea that all or that many Indians, if not all, are alcoholics. Why do you think it's important to write about that issue?
It's not a stereotype, not even remotely a stereotype. Alcoholism is an epidemic among Native American people.
And why do you think that is? I know I've been to Gallup, New Mexico, which is right next to the Navajo Reservation, and there are lots of pawn shops. Obviously, people come, the Navajo Reservation is dry, you can't drink. So people go over to Gallup, they get drunk, and then at a certain point they start selling off all of their jewelry just to continue drinking. Why?
Well, we must remember, despite the idea that we beat the British and it stopped being a colony, the United States is a colony, and Native Americans are colonized people. And like all colonized people across the world, we suffer from the loss of culture, loss of language, loss of tradition, loss of religion. And when you lose, centuries of tradition, you're in incredible existential pain, and alcohol is a way to medicate.
Although you say you've been sober since the age of 23.
Yeah, I've found other things to medicate myself, and that's writing. I used to be a binge drinker. Now I'm a binge writer.
Well, you also grew up in a family of alcoholism. Your father, in the story at least, War Dances, your narrator says his father died from full-time alcoholism.
My father died of alcoholism-related kidney failure in 2003. And I'm Sherman Alexie Jr., so there's a gravestone on my reservation with my name on it.
In that same story, your narrator talks about almost dying from hydrocephalus when he was 6 months old. And wasn't that true of you, too? Is this autobiographical?
Yes, I was born with hydrocephalus and had brain surgery at 6 months of age and wasn't expected to live. And if I did, I was supposed to be severely mentally disabled. But I'm only partially mentally disabled.
Basketball is another topic that comes a lot in these stories. Did you play it in high school?
Yeah, I played in high school. Still play it. Not as well, of course. But, basketball in the United States functions like soccer does in the rest of the world. It's the sport of poverty, the sport that is possible in poverty. And so that's what basketball is in this country. And Indians, being the poorest in the country, play basketball the most voraciously and sadly, because unlike Black folks, Native Americans don't make it to the pros.
Do you know why? Have there been any who should have?
Oh, yeah. I've played with NBA players, and I've played against Native Americans who were every bit as good. And it's a matter of, education and being able to survive college.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people who went into the NBA right out of high school. Kobe Bryant is a big star.
Yeah, and I imagine that could happen. But one of the big things is that in high school, these great Indian players aren't playing against that kind of world-class competition. So unless an Indian moved to Chicago and started playing, which is not going to happen because the best Native American players are reservation-raised, and they're not about to leave their tribe to go play basketball in an urban area and get better.
A number of films have been made from your work. Were you happy with them?
I was intimately involved in both films. I directed one and I wrote and produced the other. So all the good and bad, I take pretty much the credit for.
Have there been other screenplays?
I've worked in Hollywood at various points on other people's movies, but nothing has ever been made. I've made this incredible career and have a pension through the Screenwriters Guild for writing movies that had no chance of ever being made.
So there should be a collection of those.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? But I don't own them because I worked for somebody else, so I can't really do anything with them. It's research and development.
Sherman Alexie will be reading and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at the Union Square Barnes & Noble store. His latest collection, we couldn't get to all the stories, but I wanted to talk about a few more because they're a lot of fun, including the one that involved donkey basketball. Sherman Alexie, National Book Award winner. His book, Blasphemy, New and Selected Stories, is published by Grove Press. Thank you for being on our show again.
Oh, thank you.